It was time for Mark's press conference, and we all crammed into my bedroom, some holding hands as we watched Mark enter the Capitol Rotunda. He walked distracted and guilty to the podium, squirming, not knowing how to begin. Franny's the type who likes to ask questions, and she started up. I had to caution her that I wanted to hear every word. We were somber and a little frightened as Mark started to ramble. He spent considerable time, it seemed like an eternity, apologizing to everyone in his life, every citizen of the state, people of faith all over the world. Then he revealed the state of his heart. He described days spent crying in Argentina with his lover. I still don't quite know why I wanted to hear every syllable, but it felt important to bear witness to this in real time, to hear what the watching public was hearing. That said, I'm grateful to this day that I can't remember much of it. While it was going on, I was in such shock. It felt as though this was happening to someone else. I wished that were true. Out the bedroom window, I saw a bright orange container ship heading out to sea on its way to Turkey or China. What I wouldn't have given to be on it. Finally, no longer able to stand the sight of Mark pining away with tears streaming down his face, Kathy looked at Lalalee and said exactly what all of us were thinking. "Will you call someone and tell them to please pull him away from that camera?" Lalalee called Chris Allen to suggest this, but the press conference did not end. As Mark carried on, Kathy moaned, "Let's just end this." As if taking a cue from his vocal sister-in-law, Mark did finally finish. But then the commentators began talking about another politician who cheated on his wife. Wronged political spouses is a list no one wants to be on, but now my name would be featured there. Immediately, my cell phone rang. It was Mark. Lalalee returned to the kitchen to handle the house phone, and Franny went too to make dinner. I took the call on the porch. "How'd I do?" he asked. "Are you kidding me? You cried for her and said little of me or the boys." I guess he'd forgotten I was not the one to praise his performance. We hung up, and I went to the study above my bedroom for some privacy. I wanted to say something, to respond, to react, even though I knew that was not the usual protocol followed by betrayed political wives. I'd already missed the part in this ritual where I would stand with head bowed next to him in front of hundreds of cameras as he made his shameful admission. If I'd been there, perhaps he'd have gotten off the stage sooner. I had never considered myself a traditional political spouse, though, and this wasn't the moment to start being one. I had been working on a statement. The night before, over dinner at the Campsons, we had discussed what I could say. Once home, I wrote a formal one-page statement. Now I reviewed what I'd written to see if it still reflected what I felt. It did. I wasn't ashamed, and I wanted no one's pity. I asked my dad to read my statement, and he suggested a few minor adjustments. Those done, I sent it to my assistant in the First Lady's office, who emailed it to the local and national press. I also walked down the driveway and handed it to the reporters gathered there. Handing over my statement gave me a wonderful sense of release. I knew there would be endless requests for interviews in the coming days and weeks, and Mark and I would engage in more painful conversations. For that moment, though, my thinking was complete. I truly believed I would be able to enjoy a relaxed dinner with my family, and I really couldn't wait to hug the boys as they returned home. I knew in my heart that whether I reconciled with my husband or not, saying what I truly felt at this time of personal crisis would begin a new chapter in my life. I did what seemed reasonable to me, and it seems to have opened new doors. Doors to sharing, doors to friendship, doors to some kind of peace. Statement from First Lady Jenny Sanford, released 5:19 p.m., June 24th, 2009. I would like to start by saying I love my husband, and I believe I have put forth every effort possible to be the best wife I can be during our almost 20 years of marriage. As well, for the last 15 years, my husband has been fully engaged in public service to the citizens and taxpayers of this state, and I have faithfully supported him in those efforts to the best of my ability. I have been and remain proud of his accomplishments and his service to this state. I personally believe that the greatest legacy I will leave behind in this world is not the job I held on Wall Street, or the campaigns I managed for Mark, or the work I have done as First Lady, or even the philanthropic activities in which I have been routinely engaged. Instead, the greatest legacy I will leave in this world is the character of the children I, or we, leave behind. It is for that reason that I deeply regret the recent actions of my husband Mark and their potential damage to our children. I believe wholeheartedly in the sanctity, dignity, and importance of the institution of marriage. I believe that has been consistently reflected in my actions. When I found out about my husband's infidelity, I worked immediately to first seek reconciliation through forgiveness, and then to work diligently to repair our marriage. We reached a point where I felt it was important to look my sons in the eyes and maintain my dignity, self-respect, and my basic sense of right and wrong. I therefore asked my husband to leave 2 weeks ago. This trial separation was agreed to with the goal of ultimately strengthening our marriage. During this short separation, it was agreed that Mark would not contact us. I kept this separation quiet out of respect of his public office and reputation, and in hopes of keeping our children from just this type of public exposure. Because of this separation, I did not know where he was in the past week. I believe enduring love is primarily a commitment and an act of will, and for a marriage to be successful, that commitment must be reciprocal. I believe Mark has earned a chance to resurrect our marriage. Psalm 127 states that sons are a gift from the Lord and children a reward from Him. I will continue to pour my energy into raising our sons to be honorable young men. I remain willing to forgive Mark completely for his indiscretions and to welcome him back in time if he continues to work toward reconciliation with a true spirit of humility and repentance. This is a very painful time for us, and I would humbly request now that members of the media respect the privacy of my boys and me as we struggle together to continue on with our lives, and as I seek the wisdom of Solomon, the strength and patience of Job, and the grace of God in helping to heal my family.